prayer. Once, there was a man, he's kind of older at that time, when I was out doing traveling Sankirtan, or traveling around actually meeting people who had bought these books and subscribed to this magazine, Krishna Swaya, that I started back then, which I started for that purpose. So he's a very nice man, and he's older age that time, but a former famous Swedish runner, sportsman, and I'm not sure if he was a world champion, but he was up there. So we used to visit him, and then this time he looked a little different, and he said, well, you know, this is I'm not sure I can believe in this. And then he opened, and I said, why? And then he opened latest or something, Krishna's Värld, pointing at an article that I had published there, but it was actually a lecture by Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, about how Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. And there was a nice big picture there showing Krishna happily lifting Govardhan Hill. And I remember I was happy with the layout and everything. But he looked very stern and said, this, I can't accept. I said, why? It's just not possible to live a mountain on your pinky, on one finger. I said, well, God can do anything. No, not even God can do And then he proceeded how, you know, if you lift a mountain, of course, God can be strong enough. But, you know, a mountain that is lifted on such a little thing as a finger, it would just break on all sides. I mean, and of course I said, well, God could do that too, make it not break. But I understood his point, because what he drifted into was, you know, that hereby, if I accept this, I'm just accepting something on faith, which goes against my common sense of what is possible and not, what makes sense, you know, this nature. And so if I should just accept something like that, then I'll just become, you know, one of those religious fanatics that can accept everything, even, you know, who give up my old sense of common sense. But then when I think about that now, and if he's not with us here anymore, not at least in that body, and then I would say because I'm just now looking at the Mahabharata where Krishna has just lifted Govardhan. That whether that actually happened or if this is an allegorical story to teach us about Indra and his pride and how Krishna treated him and what he learned from that, and or a historical event that happened on planet Earth 5,000 years ago, and that we can then learn from, and so on, same way. Then anyway, the most important is, of course, the first, that we learn about something, the wisdom there, the deeper meaning of it. These are not just fun little adventure stories about how fantastic God is. There is a deep, also allegorical meaning, or how to say, deeper wisdom embedded in those stories and given through those pastimes. And of course, that's, you know, I can make a little pastime for you, little theater or play a little with you or something, to make a point. So that's more fun, just talking all the time. So anyway, I mean, whether these are just stories or these are historical accounts, what matters to us, the way we should, and they're meant to be understood, is to understand, you know, something like for instance, this, it must have been Pingala. No, the hunchback woman, she's not Pingala. We just spoke about. We learn something from it, right? We're not just about somebody called Krishna who walked around in Mathura 5,000 years ago and straightened up the back of a lady. Maybe he did. Maybe it's just religious superstition and miracles and all of that. So that latter perspective is mundane, because then if they start doubting that Jesus was here or Krishna was here or so on, Muhammad was here and did and said all that and all these miracles, then there is no God and there is nothing. And then I lose my faith, because but the thing is it shouldn't just be, faith is just the beginning, Shraddha is what we call it here in Sanskrit. The first faith, but you can't just stay there, because believing means just you can believe something else tomorrow. So next is that you start to learn, really get your doubts answered and your questions answered and so on. But take up that process of, because gaining wisdom and actual insight and knowledge is more than just stuffing in some, you know, words in your brain or something. It's a path to go upwards in one's own consciousness, so one clears up and can see things, realize things clearer. And we have a word for it. It's the mysticism, the mystical process, the mystical experience. And that word, it sounds mystical, but it's actually a concept, a word used in among scholars and all these people, academically also, of this process, or whatever you want to call it, this experience of receiving some insight or some knowledge or some inspiration as if a flash from higher up or deeper within. And Einstein, he wrote about this, saying that just like Mozart, as I heard, also said that he just picked melodies out of thin air when he was taking walks. Same it is with science. The science I'm doing, you don't just get it by studies or experiments and all that. But it comes from a higher, it's just out there. He experienced it and said that this is the way he got his insights, theories. So yeah, this is the path we're going here.